It's Jonathan's first fishing trip. Starring Mr. Rick. Also starring Jonathan.
Jonathan, wake up.
Yeah.
It's your big day. Rick's going to teach you how to fish.
Oh, you're right. Leslie, you're right. I'm just going to pray about that for a second.
Jonathan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to catch fish. Ready or not, fish, here I come. Here I come.
Jonathan, you're going to miss out. Jonathan, don't miss your big day. Come on, get up.
Can't we just go to Long John Silver's with Rick?
Come on, I'll help you pack your tackle box. I went to 7-Eleven last night. Come on, let's get up.
Okay. Long John Silver's with Rick?
Come on, I'll help you pack your tackle box. I went to 7-Eleven last night. Come on, let's get up.
Come here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Come here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Come here, fish.
Jonathan! John, what are you doing?
I'm going fishing. I'm catching fish, Mr. Rick.
You think the fish are going to jump into your bucket?
Well, they haven't yet, but that's the idea.
Jonathan, buddy. The fish don't come to you. You've got to go out to the fish.
Oh.
I got a lot to teach you about fishing. Okay, Jonathan. Here's the first key to catching fish. You've got to want to catch fish. You got to love fish. Do you know Jesus loved fish? All through the Gospels, he's catching fish, he's eating fish. I think there's going to be fish fries in heaven. You got to love fish, Jonathan. That's the first key. Let me show you. I love fish. Whoa! I got a fish. Isn't that nice?
That's huge. Mr. Rick, that's a great fish, man.
He is a nice fish. And Jonathan, do you know why I caught him? Do you remember what I told you right before I cast? You got to want to catch fish.
Mm.
You see, to catch fish, you got to love fish. And do you know how fish know if you love them?
Uh-uh.
It's the way you treat them. You see, what I always do with my first fish, I kiss it. And that sends a signal to all the fish. I love fish. Got to kiss that fish right on the mouth. Mm-hmm. I love fish, Jonathan. And when you love fish, you can catch fish.
It's going to be an interesting 3 weeks. Power kids are dismissed. You can go to your classes now. I hope you have an outline. September 12th is not far away. It's Friends Day. And these next 3 weeks, it's going to be one of my goals to encourage you to care more about lost people. So much so that you'll be sure that you bring someone with you on Friends Day to hear the gospel of Jesus. And so, for 3 weeks, let's go fish. Let's learn to be fishionaries, and I'm going to start with one of the oldest preacher jokes ever told. There was a fella that was outstanding at catching fish. He would come back to the dock every afternoon with his boat full of fish, and everybody wondered, what's his secret? How does he do it? Well, there was a game warden, a man from the Fish and Wildlife Department, that was suspicious. So he disguised himself one day and asked the man, can I fish with you the next day? He said, sure, be down here when the sun comes up at the dock. So he was, and they went out in the lake. They found a good spot. The sun was up. The guy reached under his seat there in the boat, pulled out a stick of dynamite, lit it, dropped it in the water. Kaboom! And all these stunned fish float to the top. And he rows around and starts putting his fish in the boat. Well, the game warden went ballistic. He pulled out his badge. He said, "You violated about 15 state laws. You are so going to jail as soon as we get back to this dock." The guy didn't seem to be fazed. He reached under his seat, got another stick of dynamite. He lit it, handed it to the game warden, said, "Now, you going to talk or fish?" Now, if you have ever surfed the TV, you've come across a fishing show. I don't quite get this, but evidently they're pretty popular. There's a lot of people that would like to spend a good part of their day watching other people catch fish. But has watching and talking about fishing ever filled a stringer? To catch fish, you must go fish. Jesus is not trying to disciple you into being an observer of fishing. He wants to make you a fishionary. Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to start today. Open your Bibles. There are many stories in the gospel involving Jesus and fish. This is one of the best known. Verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. I can see Peter and his brother on this big old stump just washing their nets. That's where we get the phrase "logged onto the network." It says, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, what I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks is teach you three simple secrets about catching fish. And the first one is so simple but so important. You must want to catch fish. Now, in our culture, when you say fish story, already people start to think you're going to stretch the truth. I'm about to tell you a fish story, and it's the absolute truth. It involves me, and I've got the names and phone numbers of the witnesses. If you want to verify, I'm telling you the exact truth. This story took place in the state of Montana about 15 years ago. There is a Bible camp in the Yellowstone Valley, just above Yellowstone National Park, run by Churches of Christ. It's called the Yellowstone Bible Encampment. It's been there a long time. And they have camps all through the summer for teens and for kids. And 1 week is family camp, and families come from Colorado and Wyoming and Idaho and all around that area. And they bring in a speaker, and this was my year to be the speaker. The schedule was that you'd teach all morning, take the afternoon off, and teach all night, all week long, except Thursday. Thursday was the day off so the people could go enjoy the incredible country. All the guys from around there were excited because that was the day they were going to go fishing for trout in those mountain streams. Now, they'd been giving me a hard time all week long because I was from Texas. And so they had really been giving me a hard time about being from Texas and how little we know. And I had never fished for trout. I fished for the kind of fish we have in Texas, bass and perch and all those kinds of fish. I'd never caught a trout. Especially in a little bitty old creek, not big enough to baptize somebody in. And so they said, don't be discouraged. This is the hardest kind of fishing there is. So they gave me some tackle and a rod and pointed me up the mountain, and I took off. And I got to tell you, it was exhausting. Just climbing the mountain, gutting over fallen trees to get down to a little creek you could jump across looking for a fish. It was like aerobic fishing. I was exhausted by the time I got there. And I spent all morning and came back for lunch, and I hadn't even seen a fish. And they said, man, don't be discouraged. It takes forever to learn this. You have to be an expert. It takes years. This is the toughest kind of fishing there is. Well, I went back out that afternoon because I'm not a quitter. And I'm walking along the mountain, and I see a spot where a tree has fallen over the creek, and there looks like a pool. It looked like the kind of spot they said a trout would be in. So I cast out there, and I got a strike, and I pulled in a trout about that long. Stuck him in my creel, threw it again, caught another one about that long, stuck him in my creel. Cast a couple more times, nothing happened. I cast one more time, and the water exploded, and I had myself a fish. They'd given me such a light rine and rod that I couldn't pull him in. I went into water after that fish. I got up to over my knees into that cold mountain water. I was going to bring that fish in. And when I did, I brought in a fish about that big. Now, I've caught bigger fish, you know, because usually I fish for bass. I've caught big fish before. But that was a pretty nice fish. I stuck him in the creel. When I was through that afternoon, I went back down to the camp, and I pulled out my fish, and everybody gasped. You see, in the 30-year history of that camp, the biggest fish they had ever caught out of that creek was 14 3/4 inches long, and they had him mounted by a taxidermist up on the wall of the camp. My fish was 18 1/2 inches long. It was 3 inches longer than the biggest fish they had caught at that camp in 30 years. So being the humble Texan that I am, when I got up to speak that night, I said, you know, this trout fishing is just as hard as you said it was. It took a Texan one whole day to break your record. I said, next time I'm going to try bear hunting. That's a true story. I was somewhere speaking a month ago, and someone came up to me from that part of the world and said, you're Rick Hatchley? And yeah, and I thought he was going to say, you preach for that big church in Texas, or you're on the program at Pepperdine. He said, you're the guy that caught that fish. They still talk about that fish. Let me tell you why I caught that fish. I wanted that fish. I didn't like them telling me I couldn't catch that fish. I didn't like them telling me that I didn't know how. And when that fish hit my line and I couldn't pull him in, I jumped in the water. I was going to catch that fish. That's the first secret. You got to want to. Let me ask you a question. How much do you want to see people come to Jesus Christ? Did you know there are 190 million people in America that have no relationship to Jesus Christ at all? That makes that group of people the fifth largest nation on the earth. And yet over half of the senior ministers of churches in America do not even list evangelism in their top three priorities of their congregation. You're not at one of those churches. Our purpose statement says the Richland Hills Church of Christ exists to love and save the world through Jesus Christ. Evangelism is not a piece of this church's pie. It is the pie. The reason we have a youth ministry or a children's ministry or a support group ministry or a building maintenance ministry or a parking lot ministry or any other ministry we have is so that people can find Jesus Christ. This is not our duty. This is our delight. This is what we were made for. To be fishers of men. Came across a neat story about a professional headhunter who told this to his minister. He said, you know, I go out, I hire people to come fill important positions at major corporations. And what I want to find out is what's a guy made of, so I try to get him off guard. I'll bring him into the office, I'll take my coat off, I'll loosen my tie, I'll put my feet up on the desk. We'll talk football, golf, politics, weather for a few minutes. And then when I think he's totally off guard, I'll look him in the eye, I'll say, what's your purpose in life? You find out what a man's made of. He told his minister something happened last week that's never happened before. I got the guy on the other side of the desk, got my feet up on the desk, loosened my tie. We're talking golf. We're talking football. Suddenly, I think he's all off guard. I look at him. I say, Bob, what's your purpose in life? And without missing a blink, he said, my purpose is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. And he said, I was speechless. You know what Paul's purpose in life was? He tells you in Acts 20, verse 24. My life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. You are to be a fishionary. Everyone is a fishionary. Some of us are fishionaries as a career, but we're all fishionaries because that's what Jesus said. I will make you one. You've got to want to be one, and you've got to want to catch fish. And so let me tell you what that's going to mean. Three things. First, it's going to mean you go where the fish are. Notice Jesus said, put the boat out into the deep water. Why? That's where the fish are. Fish don't come to you. You go to the fish. Because I tell you a secret about fish. They don't want to be caught. You know, it's popular today in churches in America to call the lost of the world seekers. Here's my problem with that word. Most lost people aren't seeking. Now that doesn't mean they don't have a void in their life. It doesn't mean they're not struggling with feelings of emptiness or meaninglessness. But most lost people don't get out of bed, put their feet on the floor, stand up and say, today I am going to actively look for God. They're not supposed to be the seekers. We are. Jesus told us to be the seekers. He said to us, go into all the world. In John 17, 18, he said in his prayer, as you sent me, Father, into the world, I am sending them into the world. My purpose is after I have come to Jesus to go for Jesus. I was meant to be sent, and so are you. See, what we want to do is we want to send Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is a bad world and lots of people have problems. Please, Jesus, go into all the world. We want to send Jesus. No, the plan is Jesus wants to send us. And he said he would go with us. You see, I don't know what you've been reading, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The Christian faith is not growing in our country. There's not a single study, there's not a single survey that indicates it is. In fact, North America is the only continent on the globe where the Christian religion did not grow in the last 10 years. It's not because there's not a lot of churches. And I am convinced that most churches are quite willing for the lost to come and to find them on their terms. But I'm also convinced most churches don't love the lost enough to change the status quo to reach them. See, a fishionary studies the culture. He knows where the fish are. He's been with the fish. And he's willing to make any adjustment he has to make to reach fish, provided he doesn't compromise a biblical truth. We've done that here. The church I grew up in, you couldn't read from the Bible publicly. Literally, it was a rule of the church. Unless you read from the King James Bible. Well, we don't do that. King James Bible is a wonderful Bible. It's a beautiful Bible. Lost people can't understand it. So we don't read from it. You can't find a single evangelistic church that's grown and reached lost people in the last 20 years that has not profoundly changed its worship style. I challenge you to find one. It's not that the old songs aren't godly, wonderful hymns. It's that lost people don't understand them. And so without compromising biblical truth, fishing churches have changed their worship culture to connect to lost people. I was at a church in Phoenix about a month ago called Christ Church of the Valley. It's a Christian church of 9,000. They baptized 240 people in the last 2 months. And while I was there that weekend, I saw two men in ties. Two. Because nobody in Phoenix wears a suit and tie when they're off work, especially in the summer. So they've changed their culture. They didn't compromise any biblical truth. They're not less reverent, but they dress casually. We're going to start doing that more here. It pains me to say that because I'm telling you, I look good in a suit. I do. But it's more important to reach lost people than it is to protect the status quo. And when you invite your friend for Friends Day, he's not going to be likely to come if you tell him, now be sure and wear your best suit. You don't expect the fish to come meet us. We go meet the fish. You can't spell good news without go. Put out in deep water, he says. And then he says, put your nets in. Put your line in the water. Let down the nets for a catch. Peter's been fishing all night. Think about what he's got to ignore. Number one, he's got to ignore reason because everybody knows you fish at night in that culture. The water's clear. The fish can see the net in the day. You don't fish during the day. You fish at night. You got to ignore reason. You got to ignore fatigue. Lord, I've been doing this all night. I am tired. He's got to ignore fear of humiliation. What if I put my net out in the middle of the day and I pull it up and there's nothing in it? I've got to ignore reason and fatigue and humiliation. And so do you to catch men. Because you say so, Lord, I will let down the net. There comes a time when you stop talking about fishing and you actually go fish. Which means you finally make a verbal witness. You tell people that you are a Christian and you tell them why you are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? About once a month, I make a short trip to speak somewhere, go to the airport. What would my wife think if every time I walked out of the house to go to the airport, she saw me do this and take my wedding ring off and stick it in my pocket? Why are you doing that, honey? Well, I just don't like to wear jewelry when I'm traveling. Yeah, but that's your wedding ring. But yeah, honey, does it matter? I mean, I love you and you love me and we both know that we love each other. So I'm out there somewhere else in some other city at some hotel, at some restaurant. Does it matter if anybody else knows about us? I mean, really, because we know that's what all that matters. I mean, does it really matter that anybody else thinks I'm married? Does it really matter that anybody else knows I'm a husband? As long as you know, isn't that the important thing? See, I have a feeling she's going to have a problem with that. Because somehow she's going to believe if you really love me, you're going to go public about me. Now, some of you don't go public about Jesus. You want to think it's enough just to say, well, I love Jesus and He loves me and we both know that. And isn't that good enough? If you love Jesus, you go public about the relationship. See, I don't know how to give my testimony. I'm going to teach you how to do that next Sunday. But the point is, if you want to catch fish, you go where they are and you put your line in the water. And one more thing. You believe that catching fish matters. From now on, Jesus says, you will catch men. And it says, they left everything and followed Him. It was worth a radical reversal of life to do this, they thought. A lot of the guys here will remember the name Bill McCartney, the founder of the Promise Keepers Men's Ministry, but before that, a successful college football coach. In fact, in 1990, he was coaching the Colorado Buffaloes. They were the number one ranked team in the country, fighting for a national championship. But Bill had already started to feel the tug of God in his life to do something else. He would resign just a year or two later. It's the day of a big game. And he's invited his players, those that want, to come to a devotional that morning. And he invites a really well-known national preacher to come and speak to his guys. And that guy gets in there and he gives a talk about how if you guys pull together and believe in each other and work hard, you can win this game. And when he was through, he said, "How was that, coach?" And Bill McCartney said, "It seems as though the only thing you care about is if they win this football game. The only thing I care about is if they know Jesus. Maybe we need to trade places." Does it matter whether fish get caught or not? It matters. I'll tell you quickly three reasons why it matters. Reason number one is because hell is real and real people go there. Jesus didn't come for the unchurched. That's the word we made up. He came for the lost. People that don't have God are lost. If hell wasn't real, why did the cross happen, folks? Why did Jesus have to die on a cross if there's no consequence for not knowing God? I'll tell you another reason why it matters if you catch fish. Because Jesus is the only way to God. I know that's not politically correct. I know in our pluralistic, tolerant society, you're supposed to believe that all dogs go to heaven. But the Bible does not say that. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 12, there's salvation in no one else, talking about Jesus. There's no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. The Bible says anyone that calls on that name can be saved. I don't care who you are, what your race is, what your gender is, what you've done, what your background is. It doesn't matter. You call on this name, you can be saved. Because the imputed righteousness of Jesus can make anybody right with God. Anybody can be saved that calls on that name. But nobody will be saved if they don't. Nobody can stand before the holy God without Jesus' righteousness covering them. Does it matter if you catch fish? Yes, it matters. Hell is real. Real people go there. Jesus is the only way for people to reach God. And maybe the biggest reason of all is because witnessing for Christ makes God look good. Every time you share your witness, you go public for Jesus. You are declaring the spectacularness of God. Look at Romans 1 verse 5 with me. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey Him, bringing glory to His name. When men and women are brought to Christ, God's honored, God's glorified, God looks good. It is time for us to get out of the closet and go fish. A year ago, I told you this story, but it bears telling again. Last July, my wife and I took a 4-day vacation in New York City. It had been probably 5 years since we'd had a trip, just the two of us. We went to New York City. And one day we wanted to go see the Museum of Natural History. And we thought we got on the right subway. It was supposed to be a 2 or 3 minute ride. Well, after about 10 minutes, we knew we'd gotten on the wrong subway. Going to who knows where. But someone else had gotten on that subway. And he brought in a basket full of candy bars and started asking people if they'd like a candy bar. I got one. Snickers bar, matter of fact. And he passed out about 20 candy bars to his captive audience. Then he put his basket down and he said, "Now let me just talk to you for a second." And he started preaching. He cut loose. And he preached well. He preached a gospel. He told us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but there was a way for us to be right with God through the grace and of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we could call on His name and our sins could be washed away, and that we could have a relationship with God. And about a third of the people in there were annoyed by Him, and about a third of the people in there just ignored Him and read their papers, and about a third of the people in there listened to Him. And He was doing good. But even as I listened, I couldn't help but wonder, what gives you this courage? Could I do what you're doing? Do I know anybody at home that can get on a bus in Fort Worth and do what you're doing? And then he finished his sermon with these words. Let me tell you why I'm here. Because 15 years ago, I wasn't here. I was on the streets. And for 15 years, I was a heroin addict and a crack addict. And my life was a living hell. And I never met a power that could deliver me until I met Jesus. And I'm a new creation today. And I'm living testimony that everything I just told you is true. And then I understood where His boldness came from. He was so grateful to God for what He'd received. He had to go public. And here's the point. Write it down. Passion for people is a result of passion for God. You will never really love fish until you love their maker. Do you remember in John 4, Jesus stopped at a well in Samaria. He was tired and hungry and asked His disciples to go into town to find some food. And while they were gone, a woman came up, and she was what people would call trash. 5 busted marriages living with somebody. But Jesus saw somebody God made in love, and He started pouring living water into her. And she got so excited, she ran to town to bring more people out to hear this man. And as they're coming out to see Jesus, the disciples show up with food. And Jesus says, "I'm not hungry anymore." "What do you mean you're not hungry? Who gave him something food?" And Jesus said, "You don't get it, guys. Look what He wrote, John 4. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing His work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest." In other words, He's saying, "Guys, I live to do God's will. That's my food. I am energized. I am invigorated when I can please God. And do you know what pleases my God? Look at all these people coming, guys. We can tell them about the Father. That's my food. That's what I live for." You're never going to make more time in your life for fish until you make more room in your heart for God. The more you love God, the more you will love what God loves. And you will want to catch fish. One of the world's greatest jewel merchants was a man named Harry Winston. And one time at his store, a Dutch merchant came, and one of his salesmen was showing him a beautiful diamond. And he expertly articulated all the great qualities about this diamond. But the merchant finally said, "I don't think so, thank you." And was about to walk away when Winston stopped him and said, "Could I show you that one more time?" And he took that same diamond and put it in his hand. And he just began to describe it as an object of deep beauty. And by the time he was through, the merchant said, "I'll take it." And as they were finishing the transaction, he asked Harry Winston, "Why, when your salesman told me about the diamond, I didn't want it, and when you told me, I did?" And Winston said, "Oh, he's a good salesman. He really knows all about diamonds. But I love diamonds." There's just 2 commandments. Love God with all you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor enough to put your line in the water and ask Him to come to Friends Day. You see, if we're having a problem with the second commandment, it's probably because we're having problems with the first. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, help us to love what You love, hate what You hate, and seek what You seek. Give us a passion for people that grows out of our increased passion for You. And God, thank You. Thank You that somewhere in our past, somebody loved You enough to put the net in the water for us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage all with prayer needs today and counsel needs to go to room 109. Church leaders will meet you. And I will be down front to receive anyone ready today to be right with God. Just name the name of Jesus. Ananias told Paul, be baptized and call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Anybody can be saved. But nobody can be saved without Jesus. Come be baptized today. The Bible says that when we go public for Jesus, God's glory is shed across the land. Let's sing about that while we stand up together.
Lord, the light of Your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth You now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth Your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to Your awesome presence, from the shadows into Your radiance. By the blood I may enter Your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth Your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire.
Flow, river, flow.
Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth Your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Church, go ahead and remain standing. I am going to ask you to pass your cards through the aisles at this time, and our guests can turn in the purple card now or take it to the Welcome Center in a moment. As we're dismissed, you can get a Bible and a packet about our church. Four want to be baptized today: Max Russell, Skylar Mobley, Michael Murray, and his wife Rosie. And we're going to witness their confessions in just a moment as they get ready. Let's sing one more time. Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing Your praises.
Lord, I love to sing Your praises.
I'm so glad You're in my life. came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
To save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Good morning, church. Please bear with me. It's kind of tough. This is my daughter, Skylar Mobley. And she came to Jennifer and I and asked that she be baptized. We wanted to make sure that she knew the commitment she was about to make. So we worked with her and we studied with her, and she came to us and told us she was ready. That would be the most joyful day of my life. It says in Proverbs 3:5, Skylar, that trust in Jesus with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding. Trust in Him. Give all your knowledge to Him. Skylar, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
With that confession, I will now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The remission of your sins, that you might receive eternal life in heaven.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see.
Church, this is Max Russell, and Max has been studying with his family. He's a seventh grader this year, and he's about to make the greatest decision of his entire life. Max wants you to know there's nothing better than giving your life to Jesus Christ. This is the most important decision of life. And I want to ask you this question before all these people who are going to rejoice with you in just a moment. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes. And
I told him to speak up. And do you want him to be the king of your life, Max?
Yes.
I know you do, bud. I'm so proud of you. Your Father in heaven, your Savior in heaven, are smiling right now. They're rejoicing right now because you said yes to following Him. Always follow Him, okay? This is just the beginning. Because you love Jesus, Max, and because you want to be His, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin, so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit on your nose. Take a breath. This is Michael and Rosie Murray, and recently we had the privilege of meeting Michael, and when we did, we sat down with him, and all he did was weep with me. As I studied with him, He wept for the 2.5 hours that we spent together. And it's because he knows and understands his lostness. He understands how empty his life is without Jesus Christ. He has battled the addiction of alcohol for some time, and I'm sharing that with his permission, because he knows that that his life is a mess without Jesus. He also knows that with Jesus, those same temptations are going to be there, but that he is going to have a big brother in him, a power of in the form of the Holy Spirit living in him, that is going to give him the strength and the help to win victory over that addiction as well as every other sin. And I want you to know you're making the greatest decision in your life, and as the spiritual leader of your family that God has appointed you to be, I'm baptizing you first. So I want to ask you this question, Michael. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes.
And do you want Him to be the King of your life, the Lord of your life, the Master of your life from this day forward?
Yes.
God bless you, man. I love you. But the Father in heaven, our Savior, is the one who loves you most. And He is the one who is saving you and cleansing you and filling you right now. So because you love Jesus and because you want to be His man and have a heart like His, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin. And so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. Your nose, take a breath, Ben. This is Michael's sweet wife, Rosie. And as we had opportunity to sit down and study with her as well, she knows and realizes that for her to be the partner to Michael that he needs, to be the mother that she wants to be the woman that she desires to be, that she has to give her life to Jesus Christ. And Rosie, I know and understand that you have a desire to do that. And today, you're joining your life with Michael's in life's greatest choice. So I want to ask you this question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes.
And do you want Him to be the King of your life from this day forward?
Yes.
God bless you. Because you love Jesus, Rosie, because you want to be His, because you want to be joined together as not only Michael's wife, but Michael's sister in Christ, you two are now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin. And so you too will be filled with the gift of God's Spirit. God bless you. How's your husband?
We love you, O Father, of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord.
Amen. That is life's purpose right there, acted out for us. Next Sunday, the children's wings will be open. We're excited about that. And they'll have their promotion day. So we anticipate good things. This Wednesday night will be the last time that the children will come here for the summit, except the nursery children. They'll go to the nursery. And then next Sunday, we'll get back onto our regular schedule with our children's program. Thank you for your patience. It's going to be a great blessing to us all when this is through. Also, get your tickets for the Friday night comedy concert. One of the things I've been thrilled about in the last 20 years, Christian churches are recovering the arts. We're using drama and theater and comedy and art and painting and musicals and all these wonderful tools to go where people are and to reach them where they can connect. So bring a friend Friday night. I know you'll be blessed. Let's stand now for closing prayer. I got to just say one more thing real quick. As soon as third service is over, I'm leaving, going to McKinney, Texas as fast as I can to help my brother and wives throw a party for my parents who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. I think that's pretty cool. You can say a prayer for them. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you so much that your heart is big enough to include us. Help our hearts to get bigger too. In Jesus' name, amen.